Hi, I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number during the programme is 087 69 44 500, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com, and you can get us on Twitter at nearfmgodtalk.
And you can also go to our companion website at God Talk Radio blog at wordpress.com. And greetings go out today to Mick O'Brien and Desi and David Gresham and also Jimmy and Marie Goff and Emmanuel, and finally to Billy Jago. And Billy, I'll be over for the cup of tea and the bag of crisps fairly soon tonight.
Okay, and I want to send greetings as well to Barry Reynolds. Thanks, Barry, for your email earlier today, and we look forward to having you on this studio soon. And I had a text message, just WhatsApp, just a few minutes ago from Ursula Fitzsimons in Chimoio, Mozambique. So we may not be reaching that many people in North Dublin, but we're getting through to Africa. And I had a phone call from Spencer Jones in North America, also wondering what we're going to be talking about today. So I said, Spencer, you just better tune in on the web and you'll know.
You're listening to God Talk International.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. But of course, we're broadcasting the north side all the way up to Sutton and Hoth and various parts of this wonderful city. And if you're driving home this evening, maybe you are, the traffic's building up a little bit, but it's, not a bad evening, thank God, with the weather. So, Paul, what we do in this programme sometimes is we grapple with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big issues, and it was touched upon by one of our interviews a number of weeks ago with our good friend Sean Cronin, but it's the issue of depression.
Mm.
And depression we know is huge in Ireland, and depression and suicide, and really there's so much problems, and it's a very unspoken of problem that many people have. You know, there can be shame attached, and they just kind of disappear into a hole or stay in the bed and don't get out and all these things. But from a biblical perspective, you know, what is there a scripture that jumps at you or comes to your mind?
Sure,
a good example to teach us something today, because that's really what the Bible's about. It's for teaching us our daily walk.
That's right. I suppose one of the things I love about the Bible is that you have every character and every personality you could ever imagine, and almost every situation, and it doesn't sugarcoat. They're all there. All life is there.
Good guys and scallywags together.
One that we were talking about the other day, in fact, Anthony, when we got us going on this theme, was a passage from the first book of Samuel. I had been studying that for a speaking engagement, and I was looking at Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel. And we read about him in the first book of Samuel. But at a certain point in his life, he had seriously disobeyed God. And the Spirit of the Lord, we're told, actually left him. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. So in other words, God allowed a harmful spirit to actually torment him. Now, whether that's a spirit in the sense of a personal spirit, a demonic spirit, or whether it's a very, very dark, depressed mood, which was the consequence of his own sin and the fact that he wasn't walking in obedience to God and the fact that he had grieved the Spirit of God. And so this black...
What did you do? What was so wrong? Where did he go wrong, Saul?
Well, there were a few different things. Mainly, he had disobeyed very clear instructions from the prophet Samuel about waiting for him to offer a particular sacrifice at a particular point, and then about getting rid, destroying the fruits of conquered tribes and so on. They were to, and he kept some of the goods. With good intent. Anyway, he fell foul. The prophet Samuel fairly gave him a telling off, and he actually said to him, "Look, you're finished. Your kingdom, the God has taken the kingship from you.
It was torn away from you.
So there was a huge sense of loss. And one of the things we see about depression, is very often linked to loss of some sort or other. For example, people getting old and they feel the loss of their faculties or the loss of time, the loss of friends. People who retire sometimes, for example, have a huge sense of loss.
They lose their dignity, sense of identity.
And of course, the more obvious ones, bereavement, divorce, separation, and those kind of things are huge triggers.
I was just saying there's a scripture that really struck me at the time the recession came, when there was terrible depression in Ireland with the economy collapsing. And me working as an architect, I was in the construction world, and there was a lot of small-time builders who tragically took their own lives.
That's right.
And the word that really came to me was this, where Jesus said, "Be careful that your life a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Mm-hmm. And really, those who, many people who did take their lives, when their possessions were gone, when they lost all the fortunes they had, it's like they felt their life was gone.
Yeah.
And I suppose if we want to shout anything out tonight from God Talk is, no, your life is not consisting of all your possessions. And all
or your position, the fact that you have an important position, that you're an important person in some sphere, whether it be sport, whether it be entertainment, whether it be your job, your, you know,
sure.
And that then when people lose that for whatever reason, depression is, I would actually say it's a natural reaction to any kind of a loss in life. Now, there are all sorts of other reasons. There can be chemical reason behind it. But in this particular case, this is what happens to Saul. And so Saul's servant said to him, behold, a harmful spirit is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skilled in playing the lyre. And when filled this harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. And so Saul sends out, and guess who they find? Our old friend
David.
David.
I better explain yourself. Skillful at playing the lyre. Now, there's skillful a lot of people in Ireland
the
who are
skillful. The lyre is a kind of a harp. So he would have been just a very good, very skillful musician.
There people in Ireland skillful playing the lyre in a different way.
L-I.
Yeah. So, no, it's a musical instrument.
It's a musical instrument. And so David was brought in, and David came in, and it said that they speak about David. They say that he was a man of valor, prudent in speech, a man of war. He was a very talented man. He had already had victories in war. He was a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him.
I love that, because there's six things mentioned there, mm-hmm. and the last one is the most important.
That the Lord is with him.
The Lord is with him.
And in fact, it said just a few verses before that, it said, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. So that. And I think I was saying to you the other last few days when we talked about this, Anthony, the amazing thing is that we read a psalm every week on God Talk, and I always really recommend to our listeners that the psalms are just wonderful, because there's every phase of life, every mood, whether it's joy, sadness, perplexity, yeah. whatever, it's all there. And David had been out minding the sheep and had been composing these, you know, psalms. He had been singing praises to God and so on. That was where his heart was. And I just remarked that even today, what, 3,000 years later, David's psalms and that music is still lifting our spirits the way David's gift lifted Saul's spirit out of depression.
It was kind of like the Lennon and McCartney of his day, you know, writing memorable songs.
Sure.
But they have lasted through the ages.
They've lasted all the... And another example of depression which we're talking about was the prophet Elijah. That's in the first book of Kings. And you remember he had had this incredible victory over the prophets of Baal. And the end of the drought had come. And it should have been the high point of his life.
That was the wildest thing. Because in that story, Elijah... He got these guys who are into the witchcraft and the everything to set up a thing and pour water on his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And there was even a trench and filled it with water. He doused the thing. And then he called down fire from God, the true God, and it came down and consumed it.
It's an amazing
story. He was
so
confident in the supernatural power of God. And I know one or two people today who, in a similar way, have faith in the supernatural power of God. It could be to heal the sick or do amazing things. And it's very exciting when we're not just connecting with the theology or an old book or something, but something that's living, you know, or a person that's living. The God who made the heavens and the earth and can recreate them and everything. So,
but the thing is, Anthony, that even in spite of all of that, he had seen all these great miracles. You would have think, wow, he is set up for life. He was never going to doubt God again. And then Queen Jezebel, of course, isn't too happy, because these false prophets were her guys, you know, and she heard that they'd been wiped out. And so he actually was terrified. He ran for his life. He arose, ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba. And then it says he went a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I am no better than my father's.
Wow. She really got under his skin, didn't
she?
She
did. But, you know, the other thing was that sometimes after a high like that, he'd had this amazing experience, and sometimes just to wake up Monday morning after a very good Sunday or whatever can be a hard thing, because life is flat, life is ordinary, the victory is gone. So again, there's a certain sense of loss. He's back to himself, he's off the stage, and performers and people with a great public kind of image very often are prone to depression as well. And they go through, you know, the cheerful person on the stage, comedians and so on, and then you find afterwards they come down off the high. And it's no different for a man of God, a prophet like that, a great preacher or something like that. The day after, then there's a kind of a low, a kind of a depression, because they're missing something.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. You're old enough to remember Barry McGuigan when he won the world championship as a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the first thing he did that night, after all the adulation and excitement and celebration, and he went back to his hotel room, met his young wife with the young baby, and the first thing he had to do was, guess what? Change a nappy.
Okay.
So for talking about going from the highs, you know, it's great changing nappies, I know, but just an example of how you can go from one place to another very quickly.
But we were talking earlier about the Psalms, and one of the things that really strikes me is that the Psalms give expression to the full range of human emotions, even the darkest. And because sadness is a natural part of life, you know, we think our emotions sometimes are not very spiritual or not very godly. But of course they are. All the emotions that we have, anger, sadness, love, excitement, joy, all those things, they're all right. And they all have a proper place. You find Jesus, for example, he wept over Jerusalem, wept at the grave of Lazarus. He was angry different times. And so there's nothing...
There's one psalm that really catches me. It's always Psalm 88. Because there's so many psalms where it talks about a battle and a struggle and it ends in a great victory. Psalm 88 is different. It doesn't. And I always think this is a psalm about Jesus in hell. You know, when you really read it in that context, it all falls into place and makes sense. You know, about being abandoned. Of course, he wasn't abandoned for long, but that's what he did for us. So in Psalm 88...
The last line...
What's the last line say?
The last line of Psalm 88, darkness has become my only companion. Reminds you of the song, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Yeah. His only friend was darkness. So there is no sign in that psalm at all. There's no lift.
Yeah.
You know, there's no sign. We're left there with just an expression of darkness.
Paul, what would you say? There's some people who will identify with that and say, that's my life you're just after talking about. You know, my everyday. So what sort of words do we have for them? You know, to say, even if you're living in that black space where darkness is your only companion?
Well, good question. I suppose I think most of all of Jesus, and of his having gone right through the darkness, his being troubled in Gethsemane and so on, that he had a confidence in his Father that there would be resurrection, but he still had to go through that. It didn't make it a lot easier for him at the time. He still suffered all the agony in the garden and betrayal by his friends and so on. So that we look to God, if you read the other Psalms, I think, for example, of Psalm 42, 43, where we find also expressions of great darkness. Why are you cast down on my soul, and so on. And there's a confidence there. I will yet rejoice in the God of my salvation. So that we sometimes have to go through, like it says in another Psalm 23, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. That somehow God is with us in the darkness, in the sadness, and that he will bring about a resurrection in our lives, whatever the circumstance is.
Yeah, and having an eye to what's ahead is so helpful. In Hebrews 12 it says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And here's the point: who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane and before the cross, he could see the other side of the cross. I firmly believe that. And that's how he endured it.
Yeah, but you see, most of us, we go through those things and we don't see it. So what faith says to us is that there will be resurrection, that there will be a change in our circumstances, that God will bring, there will be a dawn, that there will be a new day. And that's kind of a hard thing when you're really going through the dark night of the soul, as some of the old spiritual writers talk about, the mystics talk about this experience of seeing, not being, having any consciousness of the presence of God at all, going through really dark times. So there's no point in saying people, Christians don't go through that. Christians are always happy. Christians are always joyful. It isn't so.
No.
That sadness is part of our lives.
Well, we'd like to invite you listeners, those of you who are not driving a car right now, to text in to join our discussion with your comments or thoughts. The number is 087 69 44 500. And we're going to take a musical interlude here. And I have it really.
What have you got for us today, Anthony?
Something from the archive?
Really
ancient. This song is only 15 years older than the sinking of the Titanic. And it's about the sinking of the Titanic. Okay. And it's by my good friend, Blind Willie Johnson.
Okay.
Blind Willie Johnson.
We've had him before, haven't we?
We have, yeah. And, you know, he talks about a little bit from a godly perspective. Because I heard someone recently say to me about the Titanic, there was a great engineering of man and the great ambitions and all this beautiful ship, beautifully fitted out. And what, one bit of ice from God, the person said, put an end to that. And there was a defiance against God, saying no man or God couldn't even sink the ship. You know, there was a pride there that did get dealt with. Well, that was Blind Willie Johnson from a long time ago. And he greatly influenced Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin with his style of music. But apart from that, that song was God Moves, He Moves, God Moves, and the people had to run and pray. You know, that's what happened.
Yeah, it reminds me of that famous hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, His Wonders to Perform. Some of our listeners may know that. And, you know, that was written by a man called William Cowper, Cowper, C-O-W-P-E-R. And he was a lifelong depressive, a very strong believer, but he went through years of terrible depression. And he has a line in that hymn, the clouds you so much dread are rich with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Yeah. In other words, that the clouds will eventually give way to showers of blessing. But we just touched on some of the causes of depression. And of course, one of the causes, some people are more temperamentally inclined to sadness and gloominess than others. Mm-hmm. So it can be a temperamental factor. For example, people who are introvert are much, much more prone to depression, to see the dark side of things than the others. The extrovert tends not to. They tend to be more superficial.
Are we getting an increasing thing? Because today's world of more social media and people getting more introverted in their actual daily lives, do you see more depression?
It could be. There's a lot of that because people are isolated.
Isolated, yeah.
And even though they're technologically connected by technology, it's not a real human connection. There's no touch. There's no eye contact. You're not hearing a voice and so on. So there's some of those things. And of course, many times depression can be a medical, a physical cause. I mean, for example, the thing of Elijah we talked about, that was just tiredness, exhaustion, burnout. And God's remedy for that was food and rest. The angel gave him food, gave him drink, and gave him a rest, and he was better after that. So sometimes the causes are very near at hand and they're very ordinary.
Yeah.
But sometimes they can be spiritual. We talked about Saul, and one of the reasons that he was depressed was that he was seriously out of God's will. And for a person who knows God and is seeking to walk with God, sin and disobedience brings a consequent depression. And that's a kind of spiritual depression.
Yeah.
And I pulled a book off my shelf by famous preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, Welshman, died in 1982, called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. And it's really a series of sermons that he preached on various reasons why people might be depressed. And
it was a very popular book.
It certainly was. I've read it a few times through, but he has a sentence in it, the opening chapter, and I wonder what you think of this, Anthony, whether you agree or not. It seems to me a bit too strong in some respects. He says, in a sense, a depressed Christian is a contradiction in terms, and he is a very poor recommendation for the gospel.
Well, that's the way many see it, I believe.
A depressed Christian is a contradiction in terms.
No, because if you understand what a Christian is, well, they've got their faith in Jesus Christ, you know, but it doesn't mean that all your emotions are certainly on the happy-clappy zone constantly, you know. God is a God of reality, you know. You've got to deal with issues. It's, of course, God's design that we would not be depressed. It's God's plan. His best plan is that we would be walking in the joy of the Lord. And I love, somebody once said, joy, what's that about? J-O-Y. You first put Jesus, and then you put others, and lastly you put yourself.
Okay.
Because when you put yourself first, that's a sure recipe for depression. You know.
Here's an interesting thing he says in his introductory sentence, talking about joy expressing itself in the countenance. He says, I'm not suggesting that we should perpetually have that inane grin upon our faces that some people think is essential to the manifestation of true Christian
joy.
You don't have an inane grin on your face.
They used to call me Smiler when I was a kid.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway. But, you know, it's a good book because he goes through some of the various reasons why people, Christians, get depressed in a spiritual kind of a way. And one of them is, for example, there's a chapter called That One Sin. People believe that they have committed some particular sin that's somehow unforgivable, that's worse than any other sin. And some reason, I mean, that was the end of Judas. I mean, he really believed that what he had done was too terrible for forgiveness.
Right.
And he commits suicide. Actually, King Saul commits suicide, or the man we started talking about at the start of the story, that the downward slope goes for him through necromancy. He goes he goes to a medium, and then he ends up actually committing suicide. He kills himself. A very, very tragic end of a man that had a good start. And it was that sadness, that depression that came in, and that he just went under.
Gosh, wow.
So that's not a very cheerful way to be.
Better but lift the mood here. We have a psalm, you know, Jesus' prayer book is the Psalms, mm-hmm. you know, and we normally on each program we finish with this prayer.
And it's Psalm 42 we're looking at, isn't it?
Yeah, we have, this is a beautiful psalm, you know, I'll just read it out. It says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?"
There's depression.
Yeah. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord," I love this, "the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God."
It's wonderful because we actually see David struggling there, coping with depression, and the negative thing comes in, and then he brings in a positive. He says, "My God, my rock." And then he finishes on the strong note, "Hope in God, I shall again praise him." Yeah. He says, "I don't feel like praising him now, but I will praise him again, my salvation and my God."
Yeah, and the wild thing is he says, "I will say to God my rock." So he uses his voice. He just speaks it out. And really, that can set people free. When out of their voice and their mouth, they speak things to God. You know, that's true prayer.
And it's bringing back God's word to him. So again, it's going back to scriptural truth.
Yeah. So you've been listening to God Talk on 90.3 Near FM. Myself, Anthony Brabazon, and Paul here. We're here every Monday, aren't
every
we?
Every Monday, 5 to 5:30.
5 to 5:30.
And if you don't get to listen, we're on the podcast. They're all up there.
And nearfm.ie is the website. You get the podcasts. And it's been a pleasure to have this chat and talk to you listeners. And God bless you for the rest of your evening. And remember, you know, Jesus really went to Calvary, went up that hill for you personally. When he was on that cross, it was your sin he was carrying. He loves you that much. So God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life.
Your 24-hour community